Mrs. Foster is going to come now and give us a word of testimony.
Well, there's a verse in Psalm 66:17 that says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." And that's what I'm doing tonight, declaring what God has done for my soul. Not what he has done in general for many individuals, but what he has done for me personally. I had the great privilege of being born into a Christian home. I didn't realize how great a privilege it was until much later. But when a child is born of Christian parents, it's prayed for. And my parents prayed for me. I was taught the gospel from an early age. And above all, I had the example of lives that were godly, that were consistent and diligent in the things of God. I had another great lesson set before me in that home, for my parents were separatists. In a day when the word separation was hardly known amongst Christians, my parents were separatists. They had left, both of them, although unknown to each other, the Presbyterian Church. Now that was a big step in a community that was solidly Presbyterian, and much reproach fell on them from the family and from the neighbourhood. They left the Presbyterian Church at the time of the Davy controversy, and they then attached themselves to the Baptist Church in Ballymena, where Pastor James Kyle was the pastor. In fact, my mother was saved under the ministry of J. Kyle Paisley. And of course, in the Baptist Church there in Ballymena, there arose another controversy. And the controversy this time was over Christians, professing Christians there, communicant members who had shares in Gallagher's tobacco factory. And the old pastor couldn't countenance that, and he left with his two sons, and a new church building was erected in 1933. My father and mother both left with Pastor Paisley, so they were double separatists, if we might call them that. And my father helped with the construction of that gospel tabernacle in Waveney Road in Ballymena. So our family, to a degree, in the community we lived in, were treated as sort of outcasts. Even in the primary school that I attended, the attitude was evident on the part of the Presbyterian teachers who taught us. Nobody could understand why we had to pass three Presbyterian churches and go 7.5 miles, which was a great journey in those days, to attend a Baptist church in Ballymena. So I was no stranger to reproach and no stranger to a hostile attitude from the neighbourhood. When I was 4 or shortly after that, God began to deal with my soul. And I can remember it. There's many things I don't remember about being 4, but I do remember a great sense of sin. And even though I was young and hadn't committed the gross sins of adulthood, sometimes people have said to me, "How can you possibly know you're saved? There can't have been that big a change in your life." Well, there was just as big a change in my life as there was for any drunkard or any unclean person. Because I knew the shame of sin. I knew my guilt before God. It was a burden upon my soul. And I knew that I was hell-bound and that heaven I would never see. And because my parents followed the example of the Bible in punishing sin, I knew that punishment followed sin, and I knew that God would punish me for my sins. I used to, as a child, and I can pinpoint it to those years because of the room I slept in before the house was renovated, and I used to have dreams, and in those dreams there featured the narrow way that wound upward to heaven. And I would awaken, and I would know, well, I'm not on the narrow way, I'm on the broad road that leads to destruction. Other times I would think of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the bridegroom going in with those that were ready to the marriage and the door being shut. And I knew that as a sinner I would be shut out of heaven while other family members entered in. I was the 4th in a family of 5, and my older brother and older sister and another older brother, they had got saved in succession. I was somewhat younger than them, but the pressure was mounting. They were going to be in heaven, and I was going to be in hell. Not only did I know that I was a sinner, but I was taught that there's a Saviour who can save. Save boys and girls. That's a wonderful thing. I love that wee chorus, "Jesus, the Saviour is of boys and girls." None other ever could save boys and girls. So one night, after being in bed and being wakeful, I came downstairs and mentioned my need to my parents, and my dad pointed me to Christ. I can remember what I was wearing. I can picture the old chair that I knelt at, the old modern mistress range that I was in front of, and that night I called on God and Christ, who beareth away the sin of the world. I found in him a saviour indeed. The load was lifted. I had peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I sometimes think of Noah's dove when I think of my salvation. You remember how she was out in the storm, out in the waters, were in the face of the whole earth, and she found no rest for the sole of her foot. You know, there's no rest in this old world. There's nowhere we can find rest. There was no food out there. There's nothing to satisfy the hunger of our soul. If we stay out there, if the dove had stayed, she would have perished and gone down into the waters, weary with flying, for there was nowhere to stay, nowhere to perch and renew her strength. And out there there's danger. Out there there's the danger of eternal hell. But the dove had a desire to come to the ark, and God put a desire in my heart to seek Christ for salvation. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. We read in Genesis 8 and 9 that when she came, that Noah put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. That's my testimony. I had a desire to come to Christ, but it was the Lord that put that desire there. It was the Lord that drew me. It was the Lord that troubled me. And just as Noah stood by the window to bring the dove in, so Christ, like the father of the prodigal, he met me and he put forth his mighty hand. He took me and he pulled me onto him into the ark. And I have been in that shelter since the 3rd of July, 1951. I'll soon be 58 years saved. I've been a Christian for 58 years. I'm a Christian. I can't be anything else. For what God doeth, he doeth forever. And I have no wish to change my standing or to change what I am. I'm glad I'm saved, glad I'm in Christ. When I was 11 years of age, I began to have doubts about whether I was truly saved or not. Oh, they were foolish doubts. I wondered if I'd prayed the right prayer and said the right words. And at that time, I remembered the verse that my father had been saved through. It was John 6:37, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. It was the first great spiritual battle that I ever fought on my knees. And I stayed on my knees and I prayed until the assurance of God was mine that I was truly Christ. I'd come as a sinner to Jesus and he couldn't possibly cast me out. When I was in my early teens, and no doubt it was the beginning of those days of revival that we knew in the 60s, for it was the late 50s, and God began to move upon my heart, and I started to really pray, not just saying childish prayers, but really communing with God, getting in touch with him. I found the Bible opening up before me, and I still remember the thrill of discovering the truths of the Scriptures. Finding in the volume of the book it was written of Christ, finding Christ, meeting with Christ in the book as I read it. Now, I must say that when I went to secondary school, I had a teacher of religious education who was a complete modernist, and he denied everything that was in the Bible. Well, the Lord taught my hands to war and my fingers to fight, and I certainly enjoyed disputing with that man. I'm an argumentative sort of person. I'll not hear the end of that, but I do like an argument and will argue if there's something that I think is contrary to the truth. Yes, there he is. And I enjoyed that, I must say. But what saddens me as I look back, that there were other Christians in my class and they never said a word, even though they could have weighed in behind what I was saying. And as I say, I learned to stand up for what I believed. Now, I must make mention of Pastor Paisley and his wife, for his wife was a Sunday school superintendent in the Gospel Tabernacle. She was a woman who had the power of the Holy Ghost, and when she got up to tell a story, well, it went right to the heart, and we owe much to her, and also to Pastor Paisley. If there's one chapter in the Bible I associate with the old pastor, it's Romans chapter 6. We were taught that being saved is not just the be-all and end-all of the matter. It's the beginning of a new life with God. and he used to instruct us as to the life of dying to sin and living to God. What it meant to be crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. What it meant to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. To mortify the deeds of the body, that we might live. He preached on it so often that I could recite Romans 6, even though I never sat down and actually learned it. But he taught us about many valuable lessons from that. For this is a day when many young people think it doesn't matter how you live. You know, if you're saved tonight, God predestinated you that you might be conformed to the image of Christ. And that involves a dying to self and a dying to sin. Now, in 64, when I went to Belfast, I started attending Ravenhill Church, and God was already moving in power then. And in many of the meetings, there was a call to the young people to consecrate their life to God. And I stood in those appeals, because I felt that I ought to yield my life to God, to be what he wanted me to be, to go where he wanted me to go, and to do what he wanted me to do. And you know, young people tonight, you'll never know the joy of walking with God. You'll never know the depths of his love. You'll never know what it is to drink deep of the wells of salvation till you let go and let God have his way. And also there were appeals for those who wanted to be infilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. I responded to those appeals, and what blessing there was in those days. Joy in the meetings. Oh, you would have skipped to the meeting. You'd have known something of what Billy Bray felt constantly as you went to the prayer meeting, as you went to the meetings. There were missions. I must say my studies took second place, and God added to me all things needful. Many's a time we would be out folding papers. We sandpapered chairs for Sandown Road. We varnished them. There were all sorts of jobs to do in those days. Well, then came marriage, and it came next. That needed grace. And my husband was in Lisbalaw, and we saw God move there too. Sunday night after Sunday night, souls were saved, and God moved with power. Then we had six children. My only ambition for those six children was that they would come to know God, whom to know is life eternal. Bringing up children for God is not easy. It's not a haphazard thing. There's praying to be done. There's teaching to be done. There's a wrestling with God over their souls. And we thank God tonight that he did save our children one by one. Then came the school in 1979. I've just completed 30 years of full-time, and in this past year some part-time teaching. When we look at ourselves, we feel ourselves to be but unprofitable servants. But yet, our confidence is in the Word of God, because it's an incorruptible seed. It's not the strength of the hand that sows it. It's not the feebleness of the effort. It's the power of the Word of God as it's sown in the heart. And we have confidence that having cast our bread upon the waters, it will return to us after many days. And the best is yet to be. I'm looking forward to heaven. The captain of my salvation, that's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. The captain of our salvation, he's bringing many sons to glory. He'll land me there. I'll be there. Will I meet you there? Will you be there on that day? One day I'll see my Saviour face to face. Oh, what rapture when I behold him. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. Thank God I'm saved. All glory to him.